So here we are then, Kevin, sitting here in the Stadium of Light ahead of a 20th anniversary game.
Yeah.
How quickly has that 20 years gone by for you?
You can hear me laughing me enough. I've got to be honest with you. When you put it like that, when they talk about years have flown by, they've flown by, haven't they? I mean, I can remember the year preceding us coming here when we used to come down on a regular basis to have a look, and the chairman at the time, Bob and John, would bring us down there to say, this is where you're going to do this and this is what's going to be that. And you have to give both of them credit, because when you consider it was 20 years ago that they built a purpose, built Stadia, or Stadia, whatever you want to call it, a nice posh word, for Sunderland Football Club, it was ahead of their time. Because now when you look how much stadiums have costing to build, absolute fortunes. So, you know, from their point of view, I think they deserve a massive pat on the back. So like I said, we used to come on a regular basis, go underneath, see the changing rooms, walk out where the terracing was going to be, and the seating and how it was progressing, and I really enjoyed doing it. I actually was looking forward to playing here, and then obviously it culminates in that first game against Ajax, and it was quite surreal really. I think at one time they said it wasn't going to go ahead because of some safety certificate they needed. Then we finally get the go ahead, and then to be captain of this, what I class as great football club, and the honour of doing it, to walk out in the middle of a full house when we first opened it, was a moment that lived with me forever. It was absolutely brilliant.
Roker Park had its own qualities, of course, and you'd have fond memories of it as well, but I think over the years the capacity had come down and down for safety reasons, and it got to a stage when, to be frank, it was no longer fit for purpose. And then you came to somewhere like this, which particularly at the time was something just in complete contrast, wasn't it?
I think if you go back to Roker Park, and that's where I signed with Dennis Smith, and I still got the wacky picture of me on the pitch with Dennis and me and Michelle suit many, many years ago. But I have to say this about Roker Park. Roker Park was one hell of a football ground. It smelt of football. You walked around underneath, you could shut your eyes, you could just sense you were, you know, certain games, you know, some of the games we had there, some of the moments I had there were absolutely magnificent. And I will forever hold them in the memory bank, you know, as you get older and older and older. But you're perfectly right. It got to the stage where it wasn't fit for purpose, in the sense of the way things were progressing. People needed better seating, better, you know, sounds awful this, better toilet facilities, better access. You could probably go through the whole list of it, and there's only so much developing you could have done at Roker Park. You then had to consider the people around the ground as well. If you wanted to make it bigger, how would that affect them? And it wasn't feasible at all. So coming here and building the stadium here at that moment in time was tremendous foresight from Sir Bob Murray. And like I said, I mean, we're looking at it now, 20 years on, yeah, there's a few faded seats and that. And we're now, as time goes on, you know, replacing them all. But we're looking across at the badge now, and it looks absolutely magnificent. And it is a beautiful stadium, there's no two ways about it. And it was the right thing to do to move away from Roker Park at the time we did. And we were very, very fortunate to come to a fantastic stadium.
And there was talk at the time, of course, of going to a stadium near Washington, wasn't there? And there were various other plans mooted as well. But to have had the stadium built somewhere still in the very heart of the city, that has made a big difference too, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think when you consider that there were probably plenty of sites mooted about to where we could build the new stadium, and it was a similar thing happening with the training ground and that, and trying to keep in with a certain borough, certain perimeters, so to speak. But to have our stadium literally in the heart of the city, for me, is spot on. You know, the access to the city is literally a 2-minute walk and that, and I think it's brilliant. Yeah, I think the placement of it is fitting to this city.
What do you remember about the atmosphere in that first game against Ajax, and then perhaps as well the first competitive game was a Friday night game against Manchester City, wasn't it, as well? What do you remember about them?
You've probably been like looking up. I remember the...
No, I remember it.
Yeah, oh right, good. Well, we'll have a laugh about it now.
I wanted to go, but it's my mum's birthday and it was her party and I couldn't come to the match.
What, so you put family first?
Yeah, I had to.
No, you don't do things like that. The game against Ajax was obviously, you've got full house, you've got the helicopter, the band coming in, all of that sort of thing, so it was a party atmosphere. But from my point of view, and probably the team's point of view, we still had a game to play and we wanted to perform well in that game. So whilst you're enjoying all the atmosphere, you still are focusing on the game. You know, you want to go out and put a performance in, you want to go out and play well. And in the game, I remember Niall knocking the ball back down to me and I scored. And it was brilliant, and I was running around mad, truthfully thinking I've scored the first ever goal at the Stadium of Light. Now, whilst it might not have been a competitive game, it was still the first ever goal in a game. And then all of a sudden the whistle went, and I looked round and Jeff Winters was just looking at me with a smirk on his face, and he went free kick. And obviously I, in what I would have said were not polite words, asked him what the FNL he was doing and started giving him a bit of crap, if I'm brutally honest, but in a fair way. And he went, Niall pushed him. I went, why are you doing that? Why have you done that? And he just looked at me and he went, because I can. And it was brilliant. The way he'd done it was superb. He put me, you know, firmly back in my boxes, so to speak. But we had a really good laugh about it. And it was interesting because obviously over the years, we had a really good laugh about it as well. Now, if I go back to the Man City game, I'm sure I gave away a penalty in that game as well. But we did win it, though, didn't we?
3-1, I think.
Yeah, we did,
I think Niall scored. And I think,
and I think I fouled Kinklatsi, I'm sure I did, in the game as well, to give away a penalty.
But the first of many.
I'll be honest with you, I've probably done plenty over the years. But again, you know, to win your first game is important as well. And like I say, that's why I'm really looking forward, you know, sort of bypassing the Celtic game at the moment, to our game against Derby County on a Friday night. I think it's fantastic, to be honest with you.
And over the course of the subsequent years, you've played in many games here, many highlights, and you managed here as well, of course. Yeah. You've been a spectator for games too, all sorts of different roles you've had here. If I had to get you to pick one highlight and then perhaps one low point, what would you say?
If I picked a high point now, the year we won the championship with 105 points, it became really important to me as the season progressed. We had won the league, no one could catch us, and we had about 3, 4, 5 games to go. I don't know how many it was. But the year we won it, you know, 3 or 4 years before that, we lost our last game against Tranmere, and we battered Tranmere. Bridgie missed out for them. We battered them and didn't win the game, and we went away for an end-of-season trip then. And I remember speaking to some fans afterwards, and we were getting a little bit of stick off one or two about losing the game down at Tranmere, and understandably, because they wanted us to win the game and end the season on a high. But it stuck with me, and I kept thinking, they're right. So as we won the league, and like I said, no one could catch us with these amount of games to go, I thought, right, we're not going to get beat between now and the end of the season. Now, there's a couple of games I think I was subbing, but I was still obviously my normal self on the sideline. You know, Reedy was great with me. He would just rest me and then put me on when he wanted. And it was the opportunity for other players that have supported the team throughout the year, maybe he's not in a prominent role, to have a little bit of enjoyment as well. And I thought his management there was superb. So the games were going on, and, you know, we're winning a draw and whatever. And it came to the last game against Birmingham. Now, bearing in mind that's the day we're going to get the trophy, and to sort of elongate the story, the last time we picked the trophy up, I was suspended for that game when we got it at Roker Park. And I had to go on the pitch after the game in a shirt and my trousers, and I hadn't played a game, I hadn't got a sweat on me brown, I didn't like it. I was suspended, you see. So when it came to this game, last game of the season against Birmingham, I was suspended again, and I had to go before the FA to sort of plead my case to say why I wanted to play in the game. And thankfully, they saw my point of view in that, and they allowed me to play in the game. So you imagine now, I've got all this building up inside me. I'd had an issue with Sacco in training where I got in a 1-2 with someone. I had a moan at him, and he sent me off. And he just said to me afterwards, he said, listen, I know you're still in the zone. He said, I just need to make sure I keep this lot in it. So he wasn't bothered about it. He knew I was still focused on winning games and that. And it came to the last game of the season. Like I said, now bearing in mind, we're going to get the trophy. I've been allowed to play in the game whereas the day before I didn't think I could. Paul Thirlwell, I had to ring him up and say he wasn't playing because I was now. Like, you know, I rang Reedy and I said to Reedy, I can play tomorrow. He went, how the so-and-so have you got away with that? I told him, he went, anyway, he said, you can ring Thirlwell. I'm not ringing him to tell him. Like, that's like a ring Thir and tell him. So it was quite funny. So anyhow, so get to the story. We had the game, we're getting beat. A little bit of rout half-time. And then at the end of the game, when we've won it, I felt such a sense of satisfaction, not relief, satisfaction, that we'd achieved something. We'd won the league, no one could catch us, we still carried on performing, we still ended the season on the high with 105 points. I think that felt a massive sense of satisfaction in it all. And then to walk out into the stadium with Peter Reid to receive the trophy on behalf of the club was an awesome feeling. Like, you know, we're talking over 40,000 people in a party atmosphere. We had all our families on the pitch. I think we were probably one of the first teams ever to do that, you know, where families came on the pitch. We walked around the stadium with all the, you know, the kids, like Maya, Luke and Natasha, all the other players, children. And it was brilliant because it, for me, encompassed what we were, and which was a real family club where everybody was important. You know, we were given the trophy, we went to the disabled supporters and we allowed them the opportunity to, you know, to have the trophy, and they loved it and we loved it, and we're having photos with them. It was just, and the reason I say that is because you know, subsequent years, people have come up and said to me, oh, do you remember that? He said, oh, it was my so-and-so, my so-and-so. Well, I was there, and I remember when you came over to us, and it's a brilliant, brilliant feeling to for people to share those stories with you. And then I remember holding the trophy up in my right hand and just looking out over that corner. And at the time, there was one of the things around the pitch with Vaux on it. And at the time, you probably obviously realised Vaux, that was a year, I think, Vaux no longer traded. And a little bit longer after that, I got a photo and the bloke gave me it. And it was me holding the trophy up there, which was such a proud moment for Sunderland Football Club, but also had Vaux down there. And for me, it was a real significant fact because it was such a great time, but also such a sad time for the people that had unfortunately lost their jobs at Vaux and that no longer trading. And I've still got that in my study at home, and I love looking at it because it means so much to me for both reasons. And that game then, when we came back in afterwards, was just brilliant. And it will be the biggest memory because it was a fantastic year.
I can tell just by the way that you're talking how emotive it is still now. You know, I'm just under 20 years on talking about it. And then, of course, after that promotion, there were some pretty memorable days and nights here in the Premiership as well, because those first two seasons in particular, there were some cracking performances.
Yeah, I mean, from my point of view, this, like I said, I mean, I came and watched games then because I'd left the club at the Christmas because I was like 37, well, yeah, I was over 37 then, and I wanted to still keep, I was 35, so, and I wanted to keep playing. And obviously I had a role at the club still. Reedy and Sacco had said, look, you know, we want you at the club. But the role I would have had, and rightly so, would have been possibly a supporting role as captain, you know, when I played, but captain off the pitch. But I needed more than that. You know, I'd played lots of games. You know, I knew that once my career was over, that was the end of it. I wasn't going to get it back. And I spoke with Reedy, I spoke with Sacco about playing and that. You know, and I played games. I played quite a few games here, you know, prior to me leaving. And I even played in the reserves when they were short, not because they were short as such, because if I hadn't been playing the first team, I wouldn't have played in the reserves, because when the opportunity to come and play in the first team, I wanted to be classed as what I class as big pitch fit. And Sacco would be great. Sacco would go, do you want to play tomorrow night? And I remember coming back from London one night, and we played against Wimbledon, I think I came on late in the game and scored, and we got beat 2-1 in the League Cup or something. And then Sacco said to me that the kids have got a game down at Bradford tomorrow night, do you fancy playing? He said, they're all like literally the youth team. And I went, yeah, no problem, I'll need a game like that. So we came home that night, and then the next day I travelled to Bradford, and I remember the Bradford team literally had every player had Premier League experience in it. And then I looked at our team, and Elliot Dickman, our current under 23 coach, played in the team, and they were all youth team and me, and we beat them 1-0. Mm-hmm. And people go, you remember that quite vividly. I do, because on that night it meant so much to me to help the younger players, but I'd like to think they also enjoyed helping me, because their enthusiasm gets me through games as well. So, like I said, as things wore on, it was time for me to leave, so I did. Then you're rightly so, they had two fantastic years with Peter Reid, you know, finishing seventh twice and that. And it was awesome and a fantastic time for this football club.
And then obviously you did come back to the club as well. I suppose it may have been, and I'm just guessing here, I actually wrote down on a piece of paper the two things I think I thought you would answer when I asked you about the high and the low. I got the first one wrong. A low point from the time you've been at the stadium?
The low point, seriously, it's a little bit different to playing. It's actually when I was a manager against Newcastle, and we were playing that year, and it was a very difficult year. And Mick McCarthy left with about 10 games to go. And, you know, you understand why the chairman made the decision when he did. Looking back, I think, really, Mick should have been allowed to see the season out on that, and it was very, very challenging job for him and Taff that year. And I have to say, and I put it on record, Mick was probably one of the best managers I've ever worked under in a coaching capacity and that, and a tremendous bloke, both him and Taff. And then Bob asked me if I'd do the last 10 games, in the sense of we were already relegated, we were bottom of the league. You know, the players have found that the Premier League too hard for them, and when you consider some of the experience and abilities of something, that was probably right as well. But part of the role then was to make sure we had that little bit of pride going in and finishing the season with a little bit of a higher as well as what we can, and giving the fans something to shout about and that. And believe it or not, within the 10 games there were moments like that. And you know, we were down at Portsmouth, for example, winning 1-0, then Big Kev Cole for some reason decided to try and catch the ball in our penalty area and gave away a penalty and end up losing the game. And you look back and think to yourself, why did he do that? And my mates who's a Pompey fan, when I said that to him, he said, "Would you not remember when you'd done it away at West Ham?" So, you know what I mean? So it's quite interesting. And you look at all of that, but when you're then going to play against your arch rivals, and you know, people said about the year Alan had, and you know, the games he had and the points he got, but the players he had were different to the players we had and that. But in that game down here, we're winning 1-0. And I'll be honest with you, I thought totally in control of the game and utterly in control. And when you stood in that technical area and you're beating your local rivals 1-0 and you're the manager of the club, it's a really proud feeling. And I can assure you, when you're 4-1 down at home, in front of your home fans after the season they had, it's, I don't know how to describe it really with eloquent words. I could probably just give you a couple of words that would sum it up and most people would totally understand, but it was awful. Awful. I hated every single second of it. You know, once the first went in, you're thinking, come on lads, hold your own. But it was probably indicative of us at the time that we then capitulated and no one really knew how to get a grip of the team. No one knew how to pull us together and sort of literally say, let's not concede any more goals. And, you know, and I look back with Kelvin and, you know, he's come, and I think if I remember, it was either Gary Breen or maybe Stevie Coldwell have gone with him, and the pair of them have hesitated. No one's made a decision and chopped, I think it was, nipped in between them and scored. And it's just that split-second decision-making can turn the game round, and it proved it on that day. But I hated every second of it, if I'm brutally honest. You know, I did. It would have been such a fantastic feeling to have won the game or drawn it. But to lose at home 4-1 against them when your manager is possibly my most disappointing feeling.
That is the one that I wrote down for the potential low. The one I wrote down for the high. I got that one right. The one I wrote down for the high, it was a night that you probably remember as well. It was actually the first season here, so the playoff season.
Yeah.
And the home leg of the Sheffield United playoff, which just had an extraordinary atmosphere. It was the first time there'd been a game of that level at the stadium, I suppose. And yeah, it was an incredible night.
Well, just sort of, I'll jump and come back. Just, you know, with the Celtic game, part of what I'm doing at the moment is trying to track down as many lads over the last 20 years to come to the game. No, that's not been easy, tracking down numbers, and then also taking into account a lot of the lads are playing and that, and you know, and in foreign countries, and to ring them up and invite them back would put them in a difficult position. So we've sort of took into account anybody that we feel that could come to the game, we would love them to come, that has played in at the stadium over the last 20 years. And I've been doing that over the last few weeks. It's been really interesting trying to track the lads down. And the unfortunate thing is we've got a lot of foreign players that used to play for the club or out of the country. A lot of lads still involved in football. And a lot of lads that have left football have got families, so they're going on holiday then because the kids have broke up. But one of the lads I was trying to get hold of, and believe it or not, actually rang us back this morning, I still need to speak to him, was Lionel Perez. So it took me a little bit of tracking Lionel's number down. I got it and, you know, said, would he like to come to the game and that, because he played such a pivotal part in that year. But in the semi-final, the playoff game and that, he was immense. And I can still remember the saves he made down and the goal to our right here. And it was an unbelievable night. And it was more unbelievable because on the Saturday we had played at Bramall Lane. And it was only the other day I actually saw the goal that I scored. And I hadn't seen it probably since then. Never really bothered me, but the club had to do something for me to take somewhere. And part of that was one of the goals. And I looked and I even pulled my lad in when I got it through. I went, Luke, hey, I'll come and look at your dad here. I went, oh man, that wasn't a bad goal, was it, like that, you know? And we were laughing about it. So I then also tackled Dean Saunders, stop him, I think it was to make it 3-1 or something like that. I mean, I can't remember, but something happened in that game. But I felt on the night, day, sorry, I played quite well. Sunday morning, he comes in, I walked in about 30 seconds late and thought no one was here, and it wasn't that. It was just the fact that Reedy was in the changing room with Sacco, and all the players were deathly silenced because we had lost the game. And he was about to kick off with us all for it. And I walked in and looked at him, I thought, oh no. And I remember him saying, you're right, Skip, you were effing magnificent yesterday. So I sat down proud as punch, and then he gave probably the best non-pre-match talk I've ever given, in the sense of he questioned us about our desire, our integrity, our want to get in the Premier League. Every single thing he could touch a nerve on, he did. And he'd done it, he probably was a half cut still from the night before, but that probably allowed him to say it with real freedom, if you understand what I mean, because sometimes when you're sober, you tend to pick your words, don't you? But sometimes when you're in the right emotional state, you say it as it is, and that for me is the best way. And he really dug us all out, and it was magnificent. And I sat there, and I could feel my shoulders getting broader. I can even picture it now, thinking if the game kicked off there and then, I'd have been magnificent again. I would have ran all day. not a problem. So then we have the Tuesday night, and we actually asked for not a red hot atmosphere, a white hot atmosphere, and we drew. Julie got it, and it was probably one of the best nights ever at this, the stadium alike, for that sort of thing, because that's what we wanted. And Lionel was absolutely magnificent on the night, and then to win the game the way we did and then go to Wembley, that will be, like you say, in terms of memories, will always be a fantastic night. And the reason being as well, their centre back elbowed me in the mouth, and it was fortunate that at the end of that year I had to have a major jaw operation, so I broke the jaw, then had to have it redone. And not a lot of people know, actually, that year I wore a brace all year because it was in preparation for this jaw operation. And literally after the playoff final, I had a 7-hour operation on my jaw to take it out, re-correct it, and put it back in. But in the, so I wore my brace, and I got elbowed in the gob in the game. And it was only lucky I had my brace on that my two front teeth stayed in, otherwise I'd have been knocked straight. And I just literally got my teeth, put them back in like that, and carried on playing that, going to see the dentist the next day. So it's little things like that, but great night for that. But I think when I talk about the game against Birmingham, that was a culmination of us losing at Wembley and Niall turning around and myself saying, right, we'll make sure we get promotion next year. Niall actually said we'll remain unbeaten. I remember when he said it, I sort of looked at him like, oh, hey, big man. Like, you know, but we were laughing about it. But that's how he felt about it, and that's how I felt about we would get promotion. So that was a sort of the culmination of that night plus that season.
Just before we come back to the present and have a quick chat about the Celtic game, which is coming up, which should hopefully be another great occasion here. Best goal that you have seen scored here? Would there be one that would stand out?
I think if, when you look back, I think that year we went back up and Kevin Phillips's volley against Chelsea. And I think more so because at the start of that season, there's quite a funny story as well. Myself and Chrissy Lumsden, I think, were playing in the middle of Park against Chelsea on the opening game of the season. And I think we were up against Gus Poyet, Didier Deschamps, and somebody else, and it was 3v2, and I don't think I actually touched the ball. I remember running past Lummy once going, have you seen the ball yet, like that. And it was, they had so many top internationals in their team, it was a real challenge for us on that day. And I remember like coming off for about 70 minutes and looking up thinking that was a test type thing. I didn't actually say that, was a lot of swear words in it, and it was a real tough game. And me and Lummy still laugh about it now, like, you know. And I spoke to him the other day, and I'm sure he said, like, oh, do you remember the game against Chelsea? I remember trying to get the ball so-and-so, and he nutmegged me, run around the other side, and he said, I looked at you and you just went like that. But it was one of those days where it was a massive eye-opener to the quality Chelsea had at the time. So you then fast forward to the next game at the stadium alight, and I remember Saka going, right, we're going to get at him. Now, I'm sure that was just after the one where I played at Bradford and I'd done my back or something around, so I wasn't involved. And I sat literally in this box, I think, and what a night. And Sacco said, we're pressing them, we're going for it, we're going to get in their faces, we're not going to give them time on the ball like we did down. And that's what we done wrong down at the Bridge before, was we gave them too much time on the ball. We allowed them to show us their qualities, so to speak, and we allowed them to show their pomp, if I'm honest. And that really was the wrong we should have done on the first game of the season. We should have got in their faces and been typical of what we were like as a team, getting people's faces, win the ball, and then us dominate it, not allow other teams to dominate us. And in this particular game, Saka said, right, that's it, that's what we're doing. And we duly done it and absolutely spanked them on the night. But when Kevin hit that, it probably just said, we're here, like that. And it was brilliant and thoroughly deserved. So if you were to take that one, Alan Johnson's goal when he came in from the far side against Portsmouth and bent it in the far corner, was awesome to watch. You know, if you were to say to me now, right, tell me a lot of other goals, and I'd probably go, I remember it now, because it's difficult to remember every single one. But then also you then fast forward to Jermaine's goal against Newcastle from a, you know, coach's point of view, supporter's point of view, call it what you like, out of nothing, bam, and what a goal that was. So there's probably five or six others you could talk about, you know, passing goals, but there's been some beauties here, to be honest with you.
I'm sure, yeah, we could. I mean, people listening will be thinking they'll all have their own favourites as well. It's something that will, certainly keep people talking, and I'm sure.
I think in that sense, that's one of the things the club are doing at the moment on their media side, is they're asking people for their favourite goal, favourite moment, favourite, and all these sort of things and that. And I think it's really important we get as many of our supporters to interact, engage in that, because for people like me, like, you do it, and without realising, you probably forget about it. And, you know, you're sitting there probably thinking, I can't remember. Believe you didn't remember that goal. It's probably because I genuinely seen so many. You think, and when somebody says, "Oh, but what about that goal?" And if we can get as many of these memories on our website as we can for people's time over the last 20 years they've had at the stadium alight, it would be brilliant because I, for one, would want to see it. I would sit and watch it. I would sit and go, oh, what about this bloke? He said that. Oh, I forgot about that. Do you see what I mean? And yeah, I'd love to see all that.
Yeah, there'll be loads of that, won't there? People that will come up with things that they specifically remember. Yeah. And that's, I'd completely forgotten. Which is part of the beauty of it and remembering something that's happened over two decades. You touched upon it a bit earlier. It's a bit of, I don't know, there's a bit of symmetry about the fact that now there's this big game against Celtic coming up and then a Friday night game to start off the Championship season as well. And it should be a grand old occasion against Celtic, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think when you look over the past few years, I think it's about 9 years, I think... we're saying Juventus were the last one, I think it was, if I might be right, it was the last pre-season game we've had here. And over the years we've had a lot of fantastic concerts and I think they've benefited the city and the club in various ways and that. And I think a lot of people have really enjoyed them. But there's also a lot of people out there that have also said, look, yeah, we've enjoyed the concerts and they're great, but we'd like a pre-season game. But they fully understand as well that when you have concerts, to turn the pitch around prior to the start of the season, that's really difficult. And, you know, the groundsmen in particular, the support staff that have to get in amongst it, that's hard. That hasn't been the case this year. You know, Spuggy and his staff have been able to get the pitch looking absolutely magnificent, which it does, and that we've got the opportunity to play against Celtic, and for me, which will be a fantastic occasion to mark 20 years at the Stadium of Light and that. And we want to get as many supporters here on the day as we can. You know, I would love to see at least 30,000 here. And I'm sure, it is that time of year when a lot of people go on holiday, a lot of people make plans and that. But we've wanted this pre-season fixture for a long, long time. And this is why we need to make sure we get as many of our supporters here as we can, because you know that Celtic are going to bring probably, 7,500, 10,000, and we need to make sure we outshout them on the day as well. But I think it fits for us at the moment. It's been a very difficult few years and that. I think the symmetry, like you've just rightly said about, you know, that first game against Ajax and the game on the Friday night, we've got a similar situation here with us playing against Celtic, then against Derby County and that. If we get to the playoffs at the end of this season, I'd like to make sure we win it this time, there is that opportunity. But I do think for the Celtic game, it's fantastic to have a home pre-season game.
And it's good as well to have an opportunity, I suppose, for fans to put what was obviously a very disappointing season behind them and just to really kind of get that feeling of starting afresh and having a go this season.
Yeah, it is. And I think, and we've rightly got to understand, it's been a very difficult time for our supporters and that. And you can fully understand why some of them, are disappointed and that. But it is an opportunity for us as a club as well to draw a line under what's happened and that. We have this fantastic opportunity against Celtic for our players that we bought in, for the players that are here, to show the fans what they're all about. And then we have the game against Derby County on the Friday night, which starts a Championship season off. Excuse me. And I'm so pleased. It's against a decent team at home on a Friday night. I think it'll be a great night as well.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I could sit here talking to you about things that have happened here for hours, but I know you've probably got better things to do, so thanks very much.
I haven't. I'll carry on talking as well.
Thank you.
No problem.